What does the scripture tell us about praying for your nation, or for that matter, other nations? Let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we have been talking over the past several sessions about understanding prayer. Today, we want to consider a special topic, and that is prayer for the nations. Why? Well, the reason is because nations can get into sin just as people can get into sin, and that should not be any surprise because nations are made up of people, and God consistently responds in a certain way whenever nations do that or whenever nations rebel against Him. In John 15:5, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Without me, you can do nothing." We have a need for God. We have a need for the Son of God. And so we want to explore today what happens when a nation rebels against God. The perfect example of this was how God dealt with Israel in ancient times through Israel's many disobediences. The judgment of nations in the Scripture occurs in five cycles described in Leviticus Chapter 26, verses 14 to 40. And the usual cause is disobedience to the word of God and rebellion. Let's look at these five cycles so that we can understand how God responds to nations. God responded consistently in this manner in ancient times to Israel. We have seen other nations go through these same cycles. One that comes to mind to me in recent years has been Cuba. And I personally believe that the United States is presently going through this process itself. I also believe the same for all the European nations. There are five cycles of discipline for a nation that disobeys God and His Word. I must qualify by saying that these judgments, these cycles that God puts nations through, are for their benefit, for their edification, for their restoration, because God is love, the Scripture says. Scripture tells us that God is a father to us. Do you know of any father that will not discipline his child in order to make his child grow up in an upright manner? I don't. Well, let's look and see. What happens when a nation disobeys God and His Word? The first cycle is described in Leviticus verses 14 through 17. It says, "But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you." In other words, cycle one brings sickness, poverty, sowing but not reaping, going into the hands of your enemy, who will eat the best of your land, and fear, which will cause the people to flee when there is no enemy in pursuit. In verses 18 to 20, we see a second cycle of judgment. "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit." Now, God just mentioned seven punishments in cycle two. And basically, summing it up, the purpose of them is the breaking of pride and of power. In other words, to humble the people. He goes on to say that the land will not give its increase, neither shall the trees yield their fruits. So this is the beginning of lack. This is the beginning of the need for food. This is the beginning of cutting off sustenance in cycle two. Cycle three is mentioned in Leviticus 26, verse 21 and 22. And listen to what it says. "And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate." Notice here, seven plagues, including children being destroyed, human and animal population being decreased, adult population being decreased, highways becoming desolate, wild beasts destroying our children. There's another verse in the Old Testament where God said, "If you forget me, I will forget your children." Now, why does He do that? Very simply, God will not be mocked by the arrogance of man. We cannot box with God. Our arms aren't long enough. He demands obedience, for which He gives blessing out of love. And why does God do that? Because God wants relationship. He wants us to be His family. He wants us to love Him and for Him to love us.
What father does not want his children to be obedient? So God must bring judgment in cycle 3. Unfortunately, that judgment can affect our children. In cycle 4, verse 23 to 26, we read, "And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you." That means disease. "And you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy." So the 5th cycle of the judgment of nations is that disease comes to the cities, there are attacks by the sword, and the people are put into the hands of the enemy. Yet something worse, the 5th cycle of judgment of nations. Verse 27 to 39. "And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you." The word abhor means hate. "And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths." Notice here that God says in the 5th cycle of judgment that the nation goes into captivity to the enemy, and that the unbelievers, the heathen, are scattered. This captivity may be bondage, including spiritual bondage to Satan, as absorbed by the heathen, that is, the pagans of secular humanism. So in summary, when nations are disobedient, God says that they go through 5 cycles of judgment, and it's very consistent. You can actually historically trace the histories of many nations that were destroyed in the past and no longer exist. And you will see, if you read their histories, that every one of those nations went through these 5 cycles. Why? Because God's word is true. In summary, cycle 1, sickness, poverty, sowing but not reaping. Cycle 2, 7 punishments for the breaking of pride and power. Cycle 3, 7 plagues, with children being destroyed, human and animal populations being decreased. Cycle 4, pestilence or disease in the cities, attacks by the sword, and being put into the hands of the enemy. And cycle 5, going into captivity to the enemy, and being scattered among the heathen. One would have to be blind to see that these things did not happen to Germany in World War II, or to Cuba in 1968. Tragic, but God makes a way. And so, what is the remedy for all of this? The remedy is repentance and prayer. The actual remedy is in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Notice what God says here. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Now let's look at that for a moment. If my people, which are called by my name, it starts out. In other words, believers. It's up to believers to do the praying. The word pray is Old English for ask, and New Testament believers ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. ask, seek, knock. Ask for deliverance. Ask for restoration. Ask for healing of the land. Ask for the mercy of God. Ask for the compassion of God. Ask for the teaching of God. It's up to the people who are called by his name, that is, believers. Now notice that he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, there are four things the believer needs to do when it comes to praying for the nation. One, humble themselves. Let's read it again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Now watch. Four things they need to do. Four things all of us need to do when it comes to praying for our nations. One, humble ourselves. Two, pray. Three, seek God's face in the matter. Earnestly entreat him, in other words. And four, turn from their wicked ways. In other words, repent. The word repent in the New Testament Greek literally means to change directions, to do a 180 degrees turnabout. So it starts with humility, then prayer, earnestly seeking the Lord in the matter, and repenting on behalf of the nation and even our personal sins. Now notice that when we do those four things, God promises three things in that verse. He says, one, then will I hear from heaven, two, and will forgive their sin, and three, and will heal their land. So if God has a way in, God has a way out, and the nation becomes all the better for it. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what happened with the prophet Daniel and the nation of Judah when they went into Babylonian captivity. Daniel and all the others in Babylon had been praying for deliverance because the nation of Judah had gone through the five cycles, and in the fifth cycle, they had been given over to their enemy, and the enemy, the Babylonians, marched them out of Judah to Babylon, where they were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And Daniel and all of Judah were fervently praying for deliverance and release. Listen to what happened in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. The angel Gabriel comes to Daniel to speak to Daniel. Daniel is terrified by what he sees. And listen to what the angel says to him. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. Isn't that something? The whole nation of Judah was in Babylonian captivity. All were praying, and the angel said, I am come for your words. This is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible when it comes to understanding praying for the nations. People wonder, what good are my prayers? I'm only one person. No, the scripture shows very clearly in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, that the destiny of a nation can be changed by the prayers of one single spirit-filled person who will chasten himself or herself before God and open their heart to understand God's ways. One person praying can change the destiny of their nation, being willing to repent of all of the nation's sins and their own. That's the wisdom of the scriptures. That's the greatness of our God. That's the beauty of holiness. Daniel sought a way out for his nation. He set his heart to understand. He chastened himself before God, and God turned the fate of Judah. And as you know, if you read on, that Judah was restored. Judah was delivered from Babylonian captivity. God needs spirit-filled people to pray for their nations. God needs you. God desires you as a friend, as an intimate, as a son or a daughter. God wants a relationship with you, and God wants to bless you. Ultimately, the purpose of all judgments or chastisements personal or national, is for the purpose of edification, restoration, and making the nation or the person stronger than ever before. Making them, molding them, forming them, breaking them into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about holiness. Now notice I said holiness, not piety. Piety is religion. God doesn't call us to be pious. God calls us to be holy. And what is holiness? Holiness is separation from the ways of the world and separation to the ways of God. And that is not something that we can do under our own effort. God has to change us. But God can't change us unless He has a way into our lives. And if He has a way into our lives, He has a way out of our circumstances. You see, God can only do as much for you as you will let Him. And so the question is, will you let God change your life? Because your way doesn't work, my way doesn't work, never did. It's just a waste of time and effort. And you get older going nowhere. Many of you can look back, as I did, before I was born again of God's Spirit, to see that 10 or 15 years later, I was the same person I was 10 or 15 years before, doing the same things, getting into the same messes, going sideways through life rather than forward to God. God needs prayer warriors for the nations. He needs prayer warriors for people's families, for their spouses, their children, their uncles, their aunts, their cousins, their friends, their acquaintances, their relatives. The family constellation is a mini nation, and it can go through similar judgments. Because the word chastisement in the Bible is a punishment of instruction, a punishment of correction. God loves us enough to correct us and want the best for us. But if you will open up your heart to the Lord, His plan for your life takes over, just as with repentance, His plan for the nation takes over. And so I ask you now, will you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? Today is as good a day as any, and I promise you, my friend, He will prove Himself to you that He is real, and you will never again be the same. Please pray this prayer aloud now, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sins. God will do the rest.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith. And faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings, given over many years past, are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes, along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.